start challenging him.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to worship with you once again here in person and also online. On this another day the Lord has given to us to rejoice and praise His holy name. Today we're going to talk about bad things. Bad things happen every day, impacting us directly or indirectly in a variety of ways. Why does there have to be bad in this world? Aren't people basically good? The question related to why there is bad or evil has been asked through the ages. God addresses it, and so our focus for today. I direct your attention to page 3 of our worship bulletin as we continue with the invocation. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
Put joy in our hearts and praise on our lips. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From Lamentations 3, this I call to mind.
And therefore I have hope.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself,
the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and confess them, and let us return to the Lord.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by His death on the cross and freed us from death by His resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life.
Let us worship Him.
Let us pray. God of all power and might, You are the giver of all that is good. Help us love You with all our heart. Strengthen us in true faith. Provide us with all we need. And keep us safe in Your care.
Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures.
How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from Your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path.
To help us continue in our understanding of the word of the Lord, on this Sunday after Pentecost, a reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Exodus, reminding us that God is compassionate, and such depends on who He is, not on what we bring before Him. We hear these words. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but You have not let me know whom You will send with me. You have said, 'I know You by name,' and You have found favor with me. If You are pleased with me, teach me Your ways, so I may know You and continue to find favor with You. Remember that this nation is Your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If Your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that You are pleased with me and with Your people, unless You go with us? What else will distinguish me and Your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me Your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Not an excuse. We do know why sin is strong within us. Thanks be to God, He rescues us from our sin. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 7. Paul writes, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do what I want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Repeat with me verses 19 and 20. For I do not do what I want to do. It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that offers. Verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on. I do not want to do. It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, reminding us that things that burden us are real, but so also is the rest that Jesus has to offer us. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
If you see this, we now continue with our liturgy.
Grace, mercy, and peace, may such remain yours always, and this is possible thanks to God our Father, and through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We hear once again these words from Matthew. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sleep. How many of you can say you get enough of it each night? For those of us who would fall into the category of probably not getting enough sleep each night, what are some of the factors that contribute to that? Well, there is stress. Stress can keep us up. Hard to shut the mind off. Might be an illness, not feeling well. Might be something medical. It may be something that you ate during the day or right before bed and it's not sitting well with you. Might be noisy neighbors keeping you up. So even putting the pillow over your head, but so you can still breathe, doesn't help. You get the idea. Sleep is important. I mean, it serves a valuable purpose, such as giving the body an opportunity to recharge. But even as important as rest and sleep for the body is, even more important is rest for the soul. Now, while rest for the body comes through sleep, that's not how it works for rest for the soul. I mean, while sermon makes good nap time, that is not how God feeds the soul. He feeds the soul through His Word, as Jesus reminds us again through the scriptures that are before us today. The invitation then that Jesus has before us is an open invitation. A standing one, as long as this world is in existence. That invitation is simply this: come and find rest. Come and find rest, a rest rooted in Jesus, for this is what He has to offer us. He offers us this rest because there are burdens in this world. And why there are burdens as well as bad things in this world? Well, God gives us the answer to that. Because sin exists in this world. And because sin exists in this world, there are bad things that take place in this world. And some of those bad things end up causing a burden upon us. And because there are bad things and sin in the world, again, we are burdened by a whole variety of things. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, these burdens and these bad things result of sin just in general in the world, ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command to show their love for Him. There are also bad things and burdens in our life because of the sin in our own heart and what that oftentimes leads us to do. And so we burden ourselves. I mean, some of the things that we do which are contrary to the Word of God, they don't just burden us mentally or spiritually, it also can burden us physically. Because some of the things that we do can bring harm to our body, and later in life will burden our body. And we have to endure those burdens. And so Jesus offers us rest even in the face of the bad things that are happening all around us and in our own life. And He offers us rest for all the burdens that we have to endure, even if the action is past. The way He offers us rest is through His cross. The cross that He died on. It's not the cross itself that offers us rest, but what He accomplished by way of death on a cross. He accomplished the opportunity for us to be at rest on the inside, to be at rest, at peace with God, which then enables us to endure the burdens and survive the bad things that are happening around us, to not have them be another burden on our life. And so at the heart of the rest that he has to offer us is the forgiveness of sins that he won for us, that he accomplished for us by his death on a cross, by taking all the sins that you and I have committed and all the sins of the entire world upon himself and forsaken by his Father for a time, so that sin, our sin, could be atoned for in full. "And it is finished," he cried. "It has been accomplished." There's nothing you and I need to do to further the accomplishment of winning rest and forgiveness between God and us. It's been done already. And how valuable then is a conscience at rest? I mean, the conscience serves a very good purpose, does it not? And that voice within us that if we do something wrong, nags at us that, you know, that was not right. You should not have talked to that person that way, or you should not have taken what was not yours to be taken. We can ignore our conscience, but the conscience keeps coming back and reminding us. And then that can lead to a heavy burden on us and weigh us down emotionally. And as that, it weighs us down emotionally, it can also weigh us down physically. It can also weigh us down spiritually. Remember King David? When he did not come clean with the sin sins that he had committed, how his bones wasted away. What a burden. But once confessed, the shoulders could rise again. Because at the heart of his repentance was knowing that he was forgiven by his Lord and Savior. And there would be consequences for his actions, but he, through that rest that Jesus had to offer, would be able to endure those consequences. His conscience was quieted. He was at rest. And so as we go through the hardships of life, we endure the consequences of past actions. Right, we can endure. We can have calm on the inside, knowing that our sins are forgiven, even though we are feeling the burdens of life. That's the benefit of the Lord's words in Romans 8, reminding us that we are more than conquerors now already through him who loved us, and that all the things that we go through cannot separate us from the love that he has for us in Christ Jesus. What Jesus accomplished by way of the cross and sealed by the empty tomb, it doesn't become null and void. It's there. And it's there to help us stay at rest, even when there's turmoil and burdens and weariness in us and around us. That rest that Jesus has to offer us is ours through faith. It's not a natural connection that we have with God when we are in the womb and come out of the womb. It's not something that we bring about upon ourselves. The connection to God has to come from him and through him. Jesus makes that point that, I mean, we can be the smartest person in the world, but that doesn't mean we're automatically connected to God or going to find the peace that he has to offer through Jesus. It has nothing to do with how smart we are or what our age is or how many works we do. It has all to do about grace and receiving that grace through faith. I mean, even little children are able to come to know peace through Jesus and trust in that peace without wavering. What an example for us as adults as we endure and face more of the burdens of life. And sometimes those burdens of life cause us to question God's care for us and his concern and the rest he has to offer us. But then he directs us back to his word where he reveals his rest and replenishes us through that rest. But how many forfeit the rest that Jesus has to offer? by either ignoring it, rejecting it altogether, or having come to know that rest through baptism and the gospel and the word itself, having come to faith, but yet don't nurture that faith, and so forfeit the rest that Jesus has to offer them. I mean, even as Christians, we can miss out on the rest and the blessings that come with that rest that Jesus has to offer us when we continue to try to go through this life alone. When we treat Jesus kind of like as a pick and choose time to listen to his word rather than make it a priority. I mean, when it comes to anything in life, if we want to have a handle on it, if we want to have benefits from it, we realize we need to be all in. But if we're not all in when it comes to Jesus, look at how much we forfeit and how many burdens extra burdens we carry because we have a loose connection. And a loose connection can become a no connection so easily. And so Jesus reminds us as we're going through the weariness and the burdens of life, come to me. Come and find rest, the rest that I alone have to offer, a rest rooted in the forgiveness of sins and all then that comes with it. Nurture that rest. Because it is a rest that carries us through this life. Jesus knows that the burdens of life impact everybody in this world. Jesus acknowledges the reality of bad things taking place in this world and how those bad things can lead to burdens and weariness in our life. I mean, weariness is that ongoing struggle with whatever might be stressing us or what's on our mind and what on our heart. And so he says, you don't have to carry that alone. Bring it to me and find rest. And the burdens, that which weighs us down even after the act has been done, come to me and find rest. Because he knows us well, better than we know ourselves. Kind of like the tax collector who was struggling with his sins and finally just said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And went home justified. And think of in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes in particular, where Jesus says, who are the ones that are blessed? It's not the ones who are seeking after wealth and fame and fortune and all this and that. Rather, it's the ones who seek after the Lord, who realize that their life is not to be wrapped up in what their bank account says or how many friends they have on social media, but how they are connected to Him. How much of a burden and weight do we carry upon ourselves because we're searching and living in the wrong places with the wrong priorities? Come and find rest in Jesus, a rest that carries us through this life. Think of the lessons that are learned as we do endure the burdens of life. I mean, sometimes when life is very smooth, when there are no bumps, where do we tend to go with our life? We tend to drift away from God and priorities. And think of all the lessons that have been learned through failure, through being knocked down and then picked up again. God knows us, and sometimes He knows He throws a burden and allows that burden in our life to keep us focused because He reminds us through the writer of the Hebrews, keep your eyes fixed and focused on the author of your faith, Jesus Christ. And so sometimes He allows burdens in life to do that, to keep our focus where it needs to be. Because what is His goal for us? His goal for us is to get us to heaven. And so sometimes He may have to trip us up or allow us to be tripped up to get us back on the goal and keep us on that goal. So not every burden necessarily is a negative thing. It can be a positive. And so Paul could say then, Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. And even in the face of your burdens, let your gentleness be evident to all. Because we also have an opportunity and a responsibility to share the rest that Jesus has to offer us. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I mean, he had some heavy burdens upon himself. And he was able to endure. Yes, he is God. But it doesn't mean those burdens were easy for him in the flesh. And so thee, who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin, knows burdens. And is in a position to help us with our burdens. He equips us with what we need to endure. He gives us confidence where it needs to be placed, not in ourselves and what we accomplish, but in what he has accomplished for us. His yoke gives us freedom. He gives us rest. He reminds us that we are not carrying the burdens alone, that he is with us. In fact, sometimes he is the one who is carrying us completely. And so Philippians 3 and 4 reminds us to quit looking behind, but keep looking forward, keep straining forward, being mindful of the fact that this earth is not our true home. Heaven is our true home. His yoke then also gives us joy and delight in following God's ways, not our own ways. Instead of looking at the commandments as another burden, we look at the commandments as a joy and delight. For the Apostle John said, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. The burden comes in that lie we told. And remembering who we told that lie to. And which lie was it that we told that person? The burden comes when we commit that act of adultery and then try to cover it up. In Dateline stories, I'm always amazed why adultery gets covered up by murder. What another burden. But the burden comes by breaking the law of God, going against his ways. The light, the freedom, the joy, the light comes in knowing God's ways and putting God's ways into practice. And we get to know God's ways as we are connected to Jesus. And as we're connected to Jesus, we get to know the Father. And the more we get to know Jesus and the Father through his word, the more we want to live for Jesus and his Father, who is our Father. And the joy then that we have and the rest that we have through Jesus, we want to share that with others, because you know people who are weary and burdened with the bad things that are happening in this world, with the bad things that they have done in their own life, and are struggling to find peace through something else other than Jesus. Or maybe they have Jesus in their life, but it's not really a serious connection. So what can you do to help them take it more seriously? Pray for them. Pray with them. Listen to them. Encourage them. Celebrate with them. Celebrate the victory in your own life. Celebrate the victory of Jesus in your own life. And then celebrate the victories that you have with others as they come to recognize Jesus and what he has to offer to them. For Jesus' yoke is, not might be, is light. It is freeing. So even though we may not get as much sleep as we would like for our body, praise the Lord that his rest, the true rest that we need, remains intact. And that one day, and in all burdens that we are going through here on this earth, will be behind us. That is a hope and a truth. That is something not just to look forward to. It is something that we can hold on to now already. So come and find rest. That rest rooted in Jesus. That rest that carries us through this life. today and every day. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the source of true rest. Amen. We join in a confession of faith. It's on the top of page 10.
We join together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What are we meaning to say with these words? In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true.
Please be seated.
We pray. Grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God, for you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace where there is hatred,
bless us,
where there is injury,
bless us.
where there is doubt,
faith.
Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
Lord, it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in denying that we are born to eternal life.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Help us believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest his spirit. Renew our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith.
Take our silver and our gold, not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, O Lord, we pour at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves, and we will be ever only all for you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Lord, continue to strengthen the bodies and souls of all among us who are currently going through a health challenge. We thank you for allowing Ken Bartell to go home this week from the hospital. Grant Homer Carson relief from the pain he has been enduring. Last week was not an easy one for him or for his family. As you will for Ken and Homer and all who are suffering, heal their bodies, refresh their souls, while in the meantime helping them to endure the procedures and treatments. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And we also pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Thank you for filling out those blue connection cards and then taking the opportunity to reach out to others, especially someone you have not seen before, and just say hi. I appreciate that. Bible studies, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew here on Sunday mornings, so that'll take place at 9:30. And then Sunday school will start at 9:15 in the chapel. You're welcome to start with the Sunday school as they do a sing-along from 9:15 to 9:30. They meet in the chapel. Could use a couple more volunteers for a summer Bible camp coming up in a couple of weeks, and also more participants are always welcome. So if you know someone in your neighborhood or extended family that you want to invite to the summer Bible camp, please direct them to our website. The registration information is there. Next Sunday after the late service, we do have lunch planned, tacos and nachos, but if you want to don't like either one of those options, you want to bring your own lunch and just hang out with people, there you go. Just a reminder of that. Then on the 21st, Friday night, we plan to have another fellowship movie game night. We'll start with some games before the movie, and so we'll have the menu, hamburgers and hot dogs. Hamburgers will be made fresh to order, so on the grill, there you go, and there'll be other treats available as well. You can see the weekly news for what the movie will be that night. And Then in August, to see the weekly news for this, we have a Faith and Family Night at the River Cats game. We do have tickets available, so if you are interested in that, let me know. Last year we sat on the lawn. This year we have seats. But if you'd rather sit on the lawn, I mean, you can take care of those tickets on your own. But we do have seats reserved for that night in August. We'll wrap up this morning with staying connected with what we do together as a church body, watching the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. It's common to invest our financial resources to save for retirement or other future needs. One way to save that benefits you and supports the work of our Synod is by investing with Wells Church Extension Fund.
Here in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, you'll find a Wells Home Mission Church called Good News Lutheran Church.
Morning, John.
Morning.
Morning, Elliot.
The congregation has been worshiping in various rented spaces since its inception 10 years ago.
I got accustomed to just saying lower level. We're in the lower level of this building because basement sounds a little bit darker.
Please stand.
Now that the church has established itself in the community, it's looking to put down roots for a long-term ministry. Part of that has to do with moving into a permanent worship space. But how does a young mission church like this secure financing to build its own facility?
Obviously, we don't have a lot of collateral. So as far as our feasibility as someone who's looking for a loan like the one that we are looking for, I don't know what other options would exist for us.
So, Good News looked to a lending resource from our synod called Wells Church Extension Fund.
Of all the different moving parts that are part of a project like this, it's nice to have one that you sort of know you can count on. You know that they're on your side, and that they're rooting for you, and that they've got your back, they're going to advocate for you.
But the Wells Church Extension Fund isn't just for mission churches. It's also for established churches, like Christ the Lord Lutheran in the Milwaukee area.
We've been blessed with growth not only in numbers, but also in worship attendance. A lot of that growth has come from young families, so we've also had an expansion in the school. It's terrific to see the more new faces in the congregation weekly.
According to Ken, the rates offered by Wells Church Extension Fund are competitive to commercial lenders. So, the driving force to work with Wells Church Extension Fund went beyond just dollars and cents. That's because Wells Church Extension Fund provides an opportunity for churches to reinvest in gospel ministry as they pay off their loans.
That's actually probably the most exciting part of working with the Extension Fund.
Instead of the interest on the church's loans becoming profit, as it does for a commercial lender, it turns into grant dollars that the Church Extension Fund can make available to other mission congregations.
The great part is that interest that Church Extension Fund earns, we push that earnings right back to the Board of Home Missions, so that starts up the next congregation. So it just keeps a snowballing effect with our earnings and also with the investments that our Wells members make with Church Extension Fund.
Individuals can invest in IRAs, savings certificates, and investment certificates. This means that not only could there be a financial return on your investment, but also a return that advances gospel ministry.
And so to be able to not only get into a building, but be in a position where we can continue to do things and be aggressive with what we try and do, and new efforts, new programs, new things that we want to offer. all of that is possible only if a mortgage payment doesn't become this huge burden that really restricts what a congregation can do.
It was also nice to work with somebody who shared your faith, who shared your vision and your goals. So it made it very easy. We didn't really have a negotiation. We had a discussion on how we could mutually take advantage of our assets and use them as the best stewards we could for the expansion of the kingdom.
Choosing to invest in Wells Church Extension Fund means greater opportunities for Wells Home Missions and other churches to spread the gospel and connect lost souls to Jesus. You can learn more about how to participate at wells.net.